We're going to be looking this morning at the promises of God. Promises of God. Go with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 12. There's several verses, scriptures that are on your handout. Some of them we'll get to, some of them we won't. So you can, this week, look up those other verses and get the bigger picture of what this message is about. But I do need to lay a pretty lengthy foundation in order for us to understand the point of this morning's message. The title is Faith Unleashed. Faith Unleashed. Again, unleashing God in our lives, unrestraining God. What restraints do you have in your life this morning that are hindering your faith, your belief, your trust? So that's kind of what we'll be looking at this morning. But looking at it from the perspective of Abraham, and not so much what he did, but why he did what he did. Abraham saw God, as all of the Bible characters, they all saw God, and it caused them to live and to move and to operate in a certain way. And many times in our Christian culture, we go to this, and some might be tempted to take this morning's message and say, well, this is what Abraham did, so this is what I'm going to do. If you do that, you've missed the point of the message. The point of the message is, how did Abraham see God for who he was? And as a result of how Abraham saw God, then that's what we need to do. We need to see God. We need to see not what King David did, or one of the disciples, or what the early church did, though there are practical applications. But we want to see what they saw. We want to see who they saw. And when you and I see God, then we can live in a way that honors him. We can know his voice. We can walk with confidence and assurance. In other words, this morning we're going to be looking at the promises of God. Do you trust the promises of God this morning? You can't trust the promise unless you know who the promise giver is. So we want to look at the promise giver. And as we look at who he is and see him, then we can then receive his promise and live in that promise in any area of our lives. So let's pray, and let's ask the Holy Spirit to speak through me and to give you ears to hear, and we can apply this to our life. So, Father, we just do humbly this morning ask you to come and to minister your word to each and every one of us. Your word is living, it is life, and we need life this morning to be spoken to us. So come, Holy Spirit, in my inadequacies, in my inabilities to communicate and communicate through me with clarity what each and every one of us needs to hear this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and the church said, amen. You got your Bibles? Genesis chapter 12. There's some lines on your notes that you can just take notes throughout the sermon or on the back. Now let's jump into this. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham, I'm going to say that throughout this whole series, Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. So Abram, if you don't know, becomes Abraham. So if I say the word Abraham, then it's just a prophetic word this morning, okay? So just go with me. I've done this all week. But God shows up, and he's about ready to invite Abram on a journey. He shows up, and he gives to him a command. And he's going to follow that command up with a promise. That's usually how God works. He gives us a command, and then he follows it up with a promise. Jesus, in Matthew, his very first preaching sermon he ever did, he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is at hand. There's a command to repent. Why? Because there's a promise of the kingdom that is going to be yours. God shows up to Abram, and he's going to invite him on a journey. And his command is this. Get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to the land I will show you. Some 18-year-olds feel like, yes, Lord, right? Lord, get me out of my father's house. But this is a journey of faith, because we see at the end of this verse, he says, to the land that I will show you. He doesn't tell him where he's going. He doesn't get to MapQuest and type in the destination and calculate the miles and where he needs to stop. No, he says, Abraham, I want to show you something. Come here. Follow me. Get out of your comfort zone. Get out of what you've known, because I have something greater for you. I have something different for you. Will you come? And here is the promise. He says, this is what God will do. He says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. See, you notice the word I in there a lot? This is God speaking, right? God says, I will make you a great nation. Who's doing the work in Abraham's life? It is God, amen? It is God that is doing the work. Who's doing the work in your life this morning? It is God that does the work in you, isn't it? It's not us. It is not. It is God that has made us righteous. It is God that has declared us holy. It is God that has brought freedom to your life. It is God that allows you to overcome. It is God that gives you the strength and the perseverance. It is God that gives you your faith. It is God that works in you. It is God that gives you wisdom. Amen? And he does that because of who he is. So Abraham is invited by God to a journey, and we see in verse 4, so Abram departed to the Lord, and as the Lord had spoken to him. So we see obedience of Abram to the command of God in verse 1, and as a result, the journey of verses 2 and 3 begin in his life. God is about ready to begin a work and do a work. He says, this is what I will do in you. You need to do this. Abram says, I will do it. He gets up and he departs and he leaves. Now let's go over to verse 7. You can read through this whole story if you want. Abraham's life is Genesis 12 through chapter 25. So you can read that whole story this week if you want. We'll be kind of cruising through it this morning. Verse 7 of chapter 12. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give you this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Verse 8, and he moved from there to the mountains east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So God shows up to Abram and says, Abram, I want to take you on a journey. Get out of your country. Get out of what you're familiar with. I want to bring you to a new place, and I will make you great. I will bless you. I will put you as a person of power and influence. I have great things in store for you. And Abraham follows that. He says yes to the promise of God. He believes God and what his word was. And so he gets up and he leaves. And he ends up to this journey as God is leading him around. And he shows him this land. He says, I'm going to give you this land. And what does Abraham do? He builds an altar, a place of worship, a place of sacrifice, and says, God has spoken to me and said, this place will be given to me and my descendants. He leaves that place, he goes up to the mountains, and he builds another altar, another place of worship, and what does he do there? He seeks the counsel of God. God, you've invited me on this journey, I want to be here, I want to follow you, and you are speaking to me, and so I'm going to build an altar, a place of worship, and I'm going to seek, verse 8, he called on the name of the Lord. God, now what do I do? God, continue to speak to me, I trust you, I believe your word, I've heard your promise, and you're leading me on this journey, and now what do you want me to do? We all have altars in our life, don't we? Think about your Christian walk with the Lord. There are altars that you have built, places that God has spoke to you, a promise that he has given to you, a word that he gave to you, maybe in a church service or at home in your bedroom or driving in your car, or maybe you were in the midst of a difficult time, but you set up an altar and you worship God for who he was. A place of sacrifice, a place of worship. If you remember our series through Malachi, and we had that big altar that we built up here, and we left it up here for that whole year, that place of worship. We have those altars in our life, don't we? And I'm thankful for the altars in my life. I'm thankful for the times that God has spoken to me his promise and his word, and I could bank on it, I could count on it. This journey continues with what happens so much in our life. We won't look at it, but verses 9 through 16, there's a famine. We're going to see God invite Abraham on this journey. He says, yes, he gets up, he leaves. God speaks to him, I'll give you this land. He builds an altar. He goes up to the mountain, he builds an altar. He calls upon God. And now there's difficulty. But wait a minute. I thought we weren't supposed to have difficulties in this life. I thought life was supposed to be a bed of roses as a Christian. I thought, God, you've promised me you're going to make me great, and now there's a famine. So God takes Abram down to Egypt to get him out of there to protect him and provide for him. But he does not walk in the faith and the promises of God. In fact, he tells his wife, I think it's none of my notes, so it's in here. He tells his wife, right? He says, when we get there, is it 14? 13. See, I thought it was 14. He tells him, hey, you know what? Oh, I know why. I'm in Genesis 14, that's why. Yeah, verse 13, there it is. He says, this is what Abraham says to his wife. In the midst of this famine, they're going down to Egypt. He says, please say that you are my sister, that I may be well with me for your sake, that I may live because of you. Because he tells them that they're going to kill me in verse 12. So, because they're going to say, this is my wife, and they will kill me, but you they will let live. Now, was that according to the promise of God to Abraham? He says, I'm going to bless you. In fact, those that curse you, I will curse. Those that bless you, I will bless. But Abraham did not believe God in that sense. You see, the walk of faith and the walk of believing God and his promises is a progressive walk. We're at one place of faith. We experience a difficulty. We experience a challenge that causes us to have a point of action in our life. And when we take God's word, we take that step of faith, then we understand, oh, this works. Right? We're all growing in our faith. Based upon our life experiences, based upon what we've come to know about who God is, we take that step and we say, this works. So my faith is increased. Abraham heard the promises of God. He says, God's going to bless me. God's going to take care of me. But when they go down to Egypt, Abraham says, wait a minute, I'm scared. And so out of fear of his own life, he says, tell them that that you're my sister. And so they do. Now, look, now go to chapter 13, verse 1. Genesis 13, so Abram went up from Egypt, so the famine's ended, and he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. Abraham was very rich in livestock and silver and gold, and he went on his journey from the south. So he continues on, he's going to build another altar, and he's going to seek the face of God. But did you notice verse 2? Abraham was very rich in livestock and silver and gold. Abraham is beginning to see God's promise. God says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you, Abraham. Gives him the command, get away from your family. Get out of your comfort zone. I got someplace I'm going to take you. And I'm going to bless you, the promise. Abraham says, yes. He begins to believe the promise. He walks in the promises of God because he sees who God is. But then he steps outside of that promise when he goes to Egypt because of fear for his own life. But God takes care of that situation, and then he brings him out of Egypt, and he brings him out of Egypt, and at this point, he's very rich. He's beginning to understand that God is true and faithful to his promise. Do you believe that this morning? That God is faithful to his word, and when God says, Abraham, I'm going to bless you, that's exactly what he means. But now we have another conflict. If you continue on in this chapter, which we won't look at, but now we have a family conflict, and how many do you know here this morning that sometimes, it's very rare, but sometimes there's conflict in the family? Anybody experienced that? I've seen it on TV a few times. I've read some articles about it. I know it happens. I don't know. Maybe you've never experienced it either. But there's conflict in the family. But wait a minute, God, I thought you were going to bless me. God, I thought you were going to take care of me. Now we have this conflict. Lot, his nephew, and he's beginning to grow in wealth because he's with Abraham. They don't have enough room for their cattle to eat all the grass. There's not enough room. The land won't support it. And so they start fighting. And now we're going to see Abram trust God. Whereas when they went to Egypt, he didn't trust God. And he kind of made up this story. But now we're going to see, because Abraham is beginning to understand who God is. He's beginning to see God is faithful to his word. And now we're going to see how Abram deals with the situation. Verse 8. So Abram said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you?" This is Abram talking to Lot, his nephew. "Please separate from me. If you take to the left, then I will go to the right. And if you go to the right, then I will go to the left." So Lot lifted up his eyes, and Lot chooses his lot. Now, some of us would say, "Well, wait a minute. Abram should have stood up and said, you know, I'm going to choose which way I'm going to go. And I'm going to go this way because this is the way it looks in the natural." And that's what Lot did. Lot looked up in his own thinking and his own understanding with his own physical eyes. And he said, "Well, that's got the greenest grass over there. That they have the most water over there. It makes sense. We're going to go that way." You see, Abram trusted God because God said, "I'm going to bless you." And so Abraham said, "You know what? God can pick for me. Lot, where do you want to go? You, whichever way you go, I'll go the exact opposite direction." He trusted God because he began to see who God was. He'd seen him grow in wealth and all this livestock. He looked at his livestock and said, "God has given me all this livestock." He went to his ATM machine and he looked at all the money in his bank account. He said, "God has blessed me there." You know, God's in control and God is being true to his word. Therefore, Lot, you pick. It doesn't matter to me. God's going to take care of me. Amen. But in the flesh, in the natural, it'd be real easy to say, "Well, Lot, God has already told me he's going to give me this land. I built an altar there, a place of worship. So this is my land, and so I will choose this way." But he didn't do it. But look at how God responds to him in verse 14. "And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him," listen to what God says, "Lift up your eyes now, look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land which you see I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also shall be numbered. Arise, walk in the land throughout the length and the width, for I give it to you." Abram trusted God. And God says, "I give you this land. It is yours. It is yours." You see, you can't give what you don't have. Right? You can't get what... I can't give you something that I don't have. For God to give Abram this land means that what? God owned that land. It was God's land to begin with. Therefore, God gave it to him. Abraham is trusting God. He's seeing God in his faithfulness. He's hearing the voice of God. He's seeing God receive his worship at those altar places. He's seeing God protect him through the famine. He's seeing God give him wisdom with this family conflict. Shall we continue? Chapter 14, verse 22. We have another conflict. War breaks out. "But I thought God was going to bless me." So we've had famine. We've had family conflict. Now there's war. And Abraham's going to get messy. He's going to get involved with this war. Look at verse 22. This is after the war is over. "So Abram said to the king of Sodom," says, "I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich." So after the war is over, the king wants to bless him. "So here, I'm going to give you this stuff." And Abram says, wait. "I don't want anything from you, because God and his word that he gave to me said he will bless me. He will take care of me. God will be my provider." Look at how Abram describes God in verse 22. It says, "I have raised my hand to the Lord, the God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth." He was able to make that claim because God had given to him the land. You can't give what you don't have. So if God is giving Abraham land, it's because God owns the land. How many of you here know this morning that God today still is the possessor of heaven and earth? Amen? The God that we serve, the God that gave us his word, is the God that owns everything. He was there at creation. He asked Job and others in the Psalms and everywhere, were you there when I created these things? Did you give me counsel? Did you put the limits to the waters? Did you cause the land to rise up? Did you do that? Did you put the stars in the heavens? Did you give me counsel? You did not. For I set the foundation of the earth. I put the stars in their place. Aren't you glad this morning that that's the God that we serve? Aren't you glad this morning that that's the God that speaks to you? Aren't you glad this morning that that is the God that has promised you many things and has already blessed you, as Paul has told us in Ephesians, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places? It is ours. It is God that does the work, as he did in Abraham. I will bless you. I will protect you. I will lead you. I will make you great. It is God that does a work in your life this morning. It is not us trying to earn our way or to strive our way there. It is the promises of God. It is what God is doing. He's taken Abraham to this place that he's going to show him. Let's continue on. In chapter 15, verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid. Now listen to how God describes himself. Abram, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. God is our shield this morning. Abram, when you went to Egypt, you didn't need to tell him that Sarah was your sister. I'm your shield. I'm your protector. I'm the God that has spoken to you. I'm the God that has given to you these promises. I am your shield. I am your exceedingly great reward. It is God that should be our focus. It is the giver of the gifts, not the gifts. God is our reward. Amen? God is our reward, not what he gives to us. That's wonderful. That's amazing. It is God that is your reward this morning. Now look at how Abram responds. This is very telling. And I think it tells so much about each and every one of us. Abram's experienced these wonderful things. He's heard the promises of God. He's you know, walked with the Lord. His faith is growing. He's seeing God in new ways. But look at verse 2. And Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me? Stop there. Lord God, what will you give me? Well, what has he already given to him? He's given him the land. He's given him livestock, more than he can handle. He's given him an abundance of gold and silver. He says, God, what will you give me? I think many times in our life, there's that one thing that we'd say, God, you've blessed me so much. And I'm not complaining at all, God, and I'm not whining. And God, those places of worship, those places in my altars in my life. But God, what will you give me? And then we see Abram's heart. Seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. Look at verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said, so shall your descendants be. So God says, no, Abraham, I have a plan. Everything is going just fine. We're right on schedule. My promises were true that I spoke to you in Genesis chapter 12. What you're thinking, just be patient. Just be patient. Verse 6. And he, Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he, God, accounted it to him for righteousness. The word of the Lord came to Abram and says, Abram, I've already given you an illustration that your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, but now I want you to turn your eyes to heaven and count the stars. My plan, my word is true. Believe in my word. Believe in me, the giver of the word. And Abram says, I believe. Look on your handout. I've defined these words for you. It's important for us to understand them. Genesis chapter 15, verse 6 on your handout. Abraham believed in the Lord. That word believe means to lean your whole weight upon. To lean your whole weight upon. Right now you are having faith, trust, belief that your chair will hold you up. Because you're putting your whole weight on the chair. There's nobody standing up with one leg. Oh, I'm not sure this chair is going to hold. But that's what we do, right? That's what we do. Have you ever been somewhere and you have to cross a bridge that looks kind of old and, you know, rickety, and you're not sure whether it's a walking bridge or a rope bridge like at the Father-Son Retreat, or it's a bridge that you drive across, and you kind of take that first couple steps because you're not sure, right? Because you don't have the faith. I'm not sure things going to. So you don't put all of your weight onto it. You kind of hold back a little bit. And then whenever you become convinced, then you do put all of your weight on it. That's what the faith walk with God is like. At first, we're like, well, I'm not sure. Does this promise of God really apply to me? Is this promise really for me? And we kind of put our weight on it a little bit, and it holds us. It sustains us. And we say, oh, yeah, this does work. Yeah, this is kind of fun now. And then we take the next step. Believe, putting your whole weight upon it. Accounted. To put into one's account, your translation might say imputed. That God accredited, if you will, to Abraham's account, righteousness or justice, right standing, justification. Next week, we're going to talk about righteousness. Righteousness unleashed is next week. But the word of God comes to Abraham and he believes God because he's seen God work. When this started, when Abraham left his family, he was 75 years old. And many of you know where the story is going. We're going to get to the place where God shows up and gives him the son of promise, Isaac, which literally means laughter. When that happens, Abraham is 100 years old. So for 75 years of his life, Abraham lives with his mom and dad and in this area in the country and stuff. And then God shows up and says, I want to take you on a journey. So for 25 years, Abraham walks waiting for the promise to be fulfilled. In the midst of waiting for that promise to be fulfilled, he's experiencing the blessing of God in his life. His faith is growing because he's beginning to see who God is in so many different ways. And then at 100, after waiting for 25 years, God brings forth Isaac, and the son of promise is there. And then Abraham lives another 75 years. And then he goes to be with the Lord. Abraham believed in the Lord, and he accounted to him for righteousness. Look at verse 7. Then he, God, said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out. Here again we see it. God is the one that does the work. It is God that does the work in your life. It is God that does the work in my life. And he does it according to his plan. And he reveals that plan to us with commands and in promises. Now, chapter 16, again, you can read that this week, but Sarah comes up with an idea. God says we're going to have a kid. God says he's going to bless us. Well, let's go do it our way. And that was the wrong way. Let's go to chapter 17, verse 1. When Abraham was 99 years old, the word of the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. God again defines himself. I am Almighty God. And here we have another command. Walk before me and be blameless. Here's the promise. And I will make my covenant between me and you. And you will multiply and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abraham fell on his face and God talked with him saying, God's going to finally change his name to Abraham. So now when I say Abraham, I'm speaking it correctly. But God shows up on the scene. He's 99 years old. He's been walking around for 24 years. But God, you said you were going to bless me. But God, you said you were going to bless me. Where's all these children at? You said the dust of the ground. You said the stars in the sky. God, it's been 24 years. And in our world, in our technology today, that's like 1,000 years. God, 2 Peter tells us, is not slow in keeping his promises. We become impatient on him keeping his promise. If God's word is true, and God is who he says he is, then it will come to pass. The question remains, what will you and I do in the midst of that time? Will we believe God during those 24 years? Maybe you've been praying for something and believing God for something that he has spoken to you, or you see it in the Word. And you say, I'm standing on this promise. I'm believing God. Keep standing and keep believing. It's the Word of God. It's his promise. It's there for you. Keep walking in it. Abraham packed up his bags, went back home, said, forget this. I'm going back to my own country. I'm tired of this. God is going to seal the covenant that he already gave to him with circumcision. Look at verse 26 of 17. The very same day Abraham was circumcised and his son Ishmael. Ishmael came because of chapter 16 with Hagar. But here we see again, Abraham's obedience. God says, walk before me and be blameless. Be obedient to my word. Abraham does it that very day. We're going to jump over to chapter 21. This verse is incredible. Verses 1 and 2, you should mark them in your Bible if you're one of those kinds of people. Genesis chapter 21, verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. Everybody say amen. Verse 2, for Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham shows up and he did for Sarah as he had spoken. And he did it according to his time in the set time of which God had said. God is true to his word. He's faithful to his promises. God will be true to the word and the promises that he's given to you. Finally, 25 years later, Isaac is born. Abraham experiences the promises of God. He's received the land. He's got plenty of money. He's a man of influence. He's being blessed beyond measure. And then now, he gets what he's been asking for. Chapter 22, verse 1. We're going to fast forward several years. It came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Here I am, Lord. I'm living the good life. I got your promise. I got my son. Things are good. Here am I. Verse 2. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will show you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Now, some say, and Bible scholars and stuff, that many times in our stories, in our Sunday school teachings and stuff, we think that Isaac was a little boy, maybe 8 years old or even a teenager. But many Bible scholars think he was much older, maybe even 20 years old. Some think he's even older than that, even up to age 30. So here's this young man, the son of promise, and God tests Abraham. He says, Abraham, bring me your son. Now, this is kind of morbid if you think about it in the natural. You're going to go kill your son? Yeah, right. Who would ever do that? But think about what enabled Abraham to do this. And this is the point of today. Is God who he says he is, and in his word, what he says it is? Will he do what his word is? Will he do it or not? If faith is to be unleashed in our life, we must believe God that he is who he says he is, and that he has done what he says that he has done, and that he will do what he says he will do. If you do not believe this morning that God is that, what we just talked about, then you will not be able to live in his promise. You will not be obedient to his word because you will not be able to put all of your weight onto him. Because if I do this, then will God really take care of me? Well, if you're questioning that, it's because you haven't seen God as your provider. Abraham, at this point in his life, has seen the promises of God fulfilled in his life. This is not a story. This is an historical event that took place. That Abraham takes his son. He has the son carry the wood. And he heads off. He heads off. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. Let's bring some application this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he received as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. There again we see God working. Look at what Sarah, verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him, that's God, faithful who had promised. Sarah believed in the promises of God, even though she was well past the age to bear children. She believed God. She judged, and she judged correctly that God is faithful to his word, that God, in all of his power, has the ability to do what he said he would do, that God, in all of his goodness, has the right motive to do what he said he was going to do. Look at verse 12. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, it's talking about Abraham, were born as many as the stars of the sky, a multitude innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Because these are old people. They're almost dead. I mean, they're past the age of, I mean, she's barren. They're too old to have children. Go down to verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, so here we're going to understand Abraham's thinking. The Bible interprets the Bible. The Bible is going to tell us what Abraham was thinking and why he was able to go and offer Isaac, or plan to offer Isaac. Obviously, he didn't. If you don't know the story, God stopped him in the midst and said, now I know that you trust me. Now I know that you believe in me. So verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. So that was the promise. Concluding, verse 19, that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. In other words, Abraham believed that God had given me this promise, that he was going to give me a son. He was going to give me Isaac. And because God brought forth Isaac well past in the natural, the ability to bring forth children, brought him up from the dead in a sense, then Abraham concluded that God, who gave me Isaac, will, if I kill him, will raise him up from the dead. And he was able to believe that because he saw God as the life giver. He saw God as the one that gave life. And he believed God in his promises because he'd seen it in his life. 100 years. And then finally he gets his son. And then roughly another 20 years until he's tested. The journey of Abraham's faith grew because he saw God's faithfulness in his life. He could go back and look at the altars. And if you go read Abraham's story, you'll find that he would go and return to the altar. And you have altars in your life. You have times in your life that God has shown himself strong. He's given you a promise. You've seen God's faithfulness in your life. And today your faith is stronger than it was back then because you continue to see God's faithfulness. You begin to see God for who he is, and that he's a rewarder, and that he's good, and that he's just, and that he is all that he says that he is because you've experienced it in your life. And so today, do you believe God? Do you believe God? If you believe God, then it means you got to believe his promises. Maybe God's been stirring in your heart recently about trusting in him in a certain area, and you've kind of got one foot on there and you're kind of testing it out. History would tell you in your life, history would tell you in the history of mankind that God is faithful to his word. My friend, let me encourage you to put both feet on that promise and to put all of your weight into it and to trust in God. Amen. To trust in God. To trust in what he says. On your sheet this week, if you go to James chapter 2, you will find that your actions complete your faith. Your actions, your works complete your faith. James tells us that in James chapter 2. Under the same theme of Abraham. If I say I have faith with my words, but I don't do the work, then I don't have faith. I remember when we went to the swimming pool over here, and I was in the deep end, and my kids want to go off the diving board. This was several years ago. And I asked the lifeguard, can they go off the diving board? And they said, well, if you're in the water, then they can go off the diving board. I'm like, well, thanks for that. So I get in the water, and I'm treading water, and, you know, I think this is with Justin and Ashley. I think Brandon was able to go off by himself. And so, you know, they get to the end of the diving board, and what do my kids do? I don't know, Dad. I'm scared. I'm like, please jump. Hurry, jump. I'm going to save you. I'm thinking, who's going to save me? I was like, I'm too old for this. I can't do this. But I'm like, jump. What am I going to say? Dad's going to catch you. It's going to be okay. And they kind of like, the first time they fall in. You know, I swim over, I grab them and take them to the shore. And I took the shortcut. I went the closer end. And then Ashley jumps off. The same thing. Oh, Dad, I don't know. And she kind of falls in. And I go the short way. And then Justin starts bouncing on the board, right? Because he's seen that his dad is going to be true to his word. It's going to be safe. Even though it's scary, even though I might be nervous, I'm going to do it. And then he's jumping. And I'm going the short way. And eventually the lifeguard's like, you have to take him to the ladder, which was the long way. And I'm like, you know, I don't know about this, you know. God is telling you to jump. God came to Abraham and said, jump. He said, come, I'm going to show you a place that you don't even know about. I'm going to show it to you. Take Isaac, bring him up to this place that I'm going to show you. Church, God is saying, come with me. I got this place I want to show you. You can take me at my word because I've been faithful in your life. You see my faithfulness in your life. See, the Bible is true, then it means that salvation is through Christ and Christ alone. It means this morning that you are forgiven of your sins through Jesus Christ. It means that there is no condemnation through that are those that are in Christ Jesus. That is a promise of God. That is a promise of God for you. Jesus said, if you seek first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added to you. What are all these things? The worries of today. God's going to take care of today. He's going to give you what you need. Don't need to worry about it. Just like Abraham said to Lot, Lot, you choose. It doesn't matter. God's going to take care of me. That's his promise. Are we trusting in the promises of God? And if we're not, it's probably because we aren't trusting in God and who he is. Maybe it's because we're not seeing him for who he is. Galatians chapter 3 tells us the same thing. That Christ has freed us from the curse of the law. What was the curse of the law? The law showed us our need for a Savior, but the curse of the law was death. And Christ has freed us. Galatians 3 gives us the same context of Abraham. That through Christ, because Abraham believed God before the law was ever established, Abraham was righteous. He wasn't righteous because he fulfilled the law. He was righteous because he believed God. The law wasn't established until years later. The righteousness comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And so this morning, if you have accepted Jesus Christ in your life, faith says, because of God's word, that you are righteous. And next week, we're talking about righteousness unleashed. I want you to go to Romans chapter 4. I'd like the worship team to come up here. We're going to close with these two verses in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, the whole chapter, again, talks about Abraham and faith, and it brings it all into context. So if you would go to Romans chapter 4, as the worship team makes their way up here, we're going to sing a song to close our service out this morning and make a declaration that we are going to believe God and his word. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 19, when you're there, say amen. Again, you need to read the whole chapter. So this week, read Romans chapter 4, and you'll see the context of this. But Romans chapter 4, verse 19. And not being weak in faith, talking about Abraham, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not look in the natural and say, well, my physical body and Sarah's been barren all these years, we're never going to have a kid. God's promise wasn't for me. It's not going to happen. No, he says he did not consider the natural, but instead he considered God, amen? And because he considered who God was, then he could consider and believe in the promises of God. Verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Will you stand with me this morning? With your eyes closed, are you wavering this morning in your faith? To waver literally means to stagger or to withdraw from. If I'm wavering in my faith, it means I'm withdrawing from. Friend, don't waver in your faith with God. Don't withdraw yourself from God, but instead run to God. See God for who he is. As Abraham saw God in his faithfulness, he saw God in his ability. He said, this God is the possessor of heaven and earth. And he knew that because he had seen God work in his life to give him the land. You see, God imputed righteousness to Abraham. You can't give what you don't have, which means our God is a God of righteousness because he gave Abraham righteousness. This morning, maybe you are standing on a promise of God and it's been years and you still haven't seen it come to pass. I want to encourage you this morning to keep standing. Keep putting your whole weight, believing on that promise, because the giver of that promise is true to his word. As God visited Sarah and he came and did exactly what he said he was going to do, so God will do for you. And so God has already done for all of us that are in Christ Jesus. The Bible from cover to cover is for you. It is for you. It is the word of God for us to read and to understand. And as we read and understand, we begin to see God for who he is. When we see God for who he is, we can take a step of faith and believe in his word, believe on his promises, and say, this is how I'm going to live my life. And our faith becomes perfected, as James tells us in James chapter 2. Father God, this morning we say thank you for your word. We say thank you for your promises. So many times in our lives, in different seasons of life, we have to stand on different promises. Lord, I think in my own life, and the times I've had to stand on your promises, and situations that were out of my control, situations that were beyond my own ability, but I've stood on your promises. And you've been faithful, because you are a faithful God. Lord, so many times in our life, we've seen the power of God move, because you are a powerful God. We've seen your goodness in our life because you are a good God. We've seen your mercy in our life because you are a God of mercy. We've seen you protect us because you are our shield. Lord, forgive us for the times that we've wavered in unbelief. Lord, none of us are perfect, and we've at times struggled. At times we've wrestled with things. But thank you, God, for never leaving us. Thank you for encouraging us and telling us it's okay. You can put your whole weight upon this. You can trust me. Lord, and we've seen your faithfulness in the years. Lord, I pray your blessing over your church this morning. Lord, that you would lead us and guide us as we leave here today. And that we would leave here today putting our full weight and trust into you, our exceedingly great reward. Lord, as we sing this song, Lord, is a declaration that we are going to stand on your promises, Lord. That we will not move. And Lord, if we see one of our brothers or sisters in Christ starting to waver, Lord, may we come alongside and just encourage them. May we come alongside and help them and say, no, we're going to stand together. We're going to stand because God is who he says he is. In Jesus' name, amen.